WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President-elect Donald Trump has big plans for hiking tariffs on the U.S. three biggest trade partners as part of his pledge to crack down on illegal immigration and drug trafficking. But it could make everything from gas to food more expensive. Correspondent Michael Wallace.
In a social media post, Trump says he will slap 25% tariffs on all goods from Mexico and Canada. At some point, he will also increase tariffs on products from China by 10%.
This is going to be extremely distortive and destructive.
Veronique DeRougy, senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, says the tariffs will drive up prices for consumers.
I just find it a very weird move, considering that one of the things that helped him win the election is how much Americans disliked the increase of prices.
Mr. Trump is taking a victory lap after special counsel Jack Smith moved to have his federal election interference case dismissed and remove the president-elect from the classified documents case in Florida. Legal contributor Ricky Kleeman.
You're not going to be able to interfere ultimately with the work of the president of the United States by tying him up in trial.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is meeting with his security cabinet today to discuss and possibly vote on a ceasefire deal with Hezbollah in Lebanon. CBS's Deborah Patta from Tel Aviv.
The White House said it's been actively involved in trying to get this deal done, but caution, nothing is negotiated until everything is negotiated.
Two more days until Thanksgiving, and holiday travel is getting dicey. A major cross-country storm is making its way from the Rockies to the East Coast. Betty Harper's at Reagan National Airport.
We have more family coming from Chicago, New York, and we came from Nashville. Yes, it'll get crazy. My son says it takes 2 hours to get out of Chicago. They're driving.
Eric and Lyle Menendez will spend Thanksgiving and Christmas in prison. A judge has postponed a hearing on their bid to reduce their life sentences in their parents' murders because of a technical issue. CBS's Elise Preston is in L.A.
The defense and family members had been optimistic that the brothers would be home for the holidays. That won't happen now. The earliest we could see a release would be in a couple months.
The newly crowned Miss Universe is stirring up controversy. She posted a TikTok video from the top of the Empire State Building that includes her lip-syncing the N-word in Jay-Z's Empire State of Mind. S&P futures are down 1, Dow futures off 11. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Giannis named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That after leading the Bucks to a four-game winning streak. Right now, Giannis, averaging over 32 points a game, is the most in the NBA. The Bucks are in Miami to play the Heat. NFL, Packers safety Xavier McKinney made his 7th interception of the season against the 49ers Sunday night. The ball intended for Deebo Samuel. I asked McKinney what happened next.
So I just played for the tip, and luckily it bounced right to me. I was in the right spot, and I was able to make a play.
The Packers host the Dolphins Thursday night, kickoff at 7:20. Badgers football on Friday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota at 11 a.m., playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
Regardless if it's Friday at 11 o'clock or if they'd have put it at Saturday at night. It comes down to a one-game season. It comes down to a battle for an axe, and anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong in either one of these places.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickid Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have some pretty good travel weather coming our way for the upcoming holiday weekend, but take a jacket because it is currently it's 17.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show, and filmmaker Emmett Lavorty. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this this beautiful Monday night in our cold, rainy state of Wisconsin. It's still beautiful. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. So much to be grateful for if you just really look. And we're trying to do that this week, make ourselves grateful and thankful. And I am thankful that a little later this hour, Jeff Pfeiffer will be here. He is the producer of Wisconsin Lighthouses. He's coming up at 7:20. I'm also grateful for our friend Rob Thomas, who joins us periodically to discuss movies and TV and keep us informed about what maybe we aren't keeping up with. So, Rob, before we move on to TV, you know, there's a couple other films that open this weekend. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Bonhoeffer? Does that sound familiar? It was number four and it got pretty good reviews. It seems like there's a few films flying under the radar a little bit that might be pretty decent.
I feel like there's a lot lately where I'm like, yeah, what is that movie? And like, that one is about a World War II. I think it's a German pastor who became a spy. True story. Yeah, what were the other ones I saw? There's a bunch where I look and I'm like, what? I haven't heard of this, but like Heretic is a horror movie with Hugh Grant, which I think is very quietly doing pretty well.
Yep.
And then this movie, did you see Conclave? Do you know what that is?
No, I was going to ask you about that because that's on my list. It just got to our theater where I live. We typically only get the big blockbusters every once in a while, but they do have Conclave now, so that is on my list. I hear it's great.
I thought it was great. It's like, it's about the selection of a new pope. And so it takes you inside, you know, the Vatican as they're deliberating. But it's also sort of a mystery because like there are all these secrets coming out about the different candidates. And it was surprisingly really fun, I would say. It looks kind of, you know, stiff and stodgy, but it's like, it's very fun. It's almost like a pulpy thriller in some ways, and Ralph Fiennes and Stanley Tucci and John Lithgow, these great actors just going at it. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I absolutely love Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, I've been watching his TikTok videos where he makes pasta, and it's like, oh, he deserves an Oscar just for that.
I didn't know anything about that. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, he's got this whole side thing. Yeah.
So Conclave is here. I thought it was like a mystery set at the Vatican, and then I see all the, you know, we all have our Facebook friends that have different opinions and are more religious or less religious, but even like the far right kind of friends of mine are raving about Conclave. So I'm like, well, it must not be too offensive. Is it just like a family film? It is rated PG.
Well, there's no sex in it because it's all 70-year-old cardinals. But
thank God for that.
I would spoil it if I gave you my opinion. I would say maybe they're missing a couple of things. But okay. it's not really political, and it's certainly not pro or anti-Catholic, I don't think.
Okay.
But it's fascinating to see inside that world. Like, it was so funny to me, like, these scenes where, like, they meet in this ancient chamber and, you know, deliberate over, you know, these, you know, literally what they've done for hundreds or thousands of years. And then they take a shuttle bus back to the hotel. Like, that just made me laugh. It's like all the different kind of, like, the way, like, the spiritual and, like ordinary modern life kind of intersect like that. I really enjoyed it.
That is hilarious. And is Isabella Rossellini in that too?
She is. Yeah.
She's so great.
She plays a, yeah, she's really good too. Yeah. It's a good cast. Yeah.
92% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, you can't go wrong there, I guess. That's on my list. All right, let's cover some TV here. Oh, before we do that, have you ever seen a movie called One False Move? And have I ever asked you that before?
Fantastic movie. Yeah. Billy Bob Thornton wrote it, I think, in addition to his role in it. Bill Paxton.
That's the film that launched his career, I believe. Everybody says it's Sling Blade, but I think that came after One False Move.
It did.
Yeah, and I had Earl Ingram was on the show last week. He's a big film noir fan, and I thought, I want to watch something more current that's considered film noir. And I had seen One False Move in the theaters in the 90s, had no idea probably what a film noir even was 30 years ago, but that's called a film noir. So I watched it, and wow, does it hold up. It's so good.
Yeah, yeah, it's it must be on streaming somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
Just this small town, good sheriff, or maybe not so good.
Yeah.
And really, you know, some of the violence in it I found very shocking, I remember, just because of how realistic and almost matter of fact it was. That movie, it's like a 1992 movie. And I remember it very clearly over 30 years later.
And it just, it's like the way the story unravels is so great. It's like one thing after another, and then you're like, oh, it's a good kind of thriller, because these drug dealers are on their way to this small Arkansas town, but then Bill Paxton's story unravels a little bit too. It's really good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, so. Highly recommend it. Yeah.
Same. All right, let's talk about what you've seen. Man on the Inside, Ted Danson has another really good TV show. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And what is the deal?
The great thing is it's the lead role for him, which he hasn't had for a while, because he was supporting on The Good Place, and there's that show Bored to Death. But he plays it's based on a documentary, although this is pretty fictionalized, but it's he plays a widower, college professor, who's kind of at loose ends about what to do with his life. And he takes this job basically as the assistant for a private investigator, where he goes undercover in a retirement home. Living facility.
Man, so great
to look into alleged thefts going on there, like the jewelry of the patients being stolen. And it's the same writer director Mike Schur who did The Good Place, and I think he was behind Parks and Rec as well, if I'm not mistaken. And it's it's on Netflix. All 8 episodes of the first season dropped. It's a comedy, but it's also very poignant about this guy sort of, dealing with old age and finding this new purpose and really kind of enjoying it. And I just started a couple episodes in, but it's really good. I really highly recommend it. Only a half hour an episode, so it's not a big commitment.
Yeah. I have to be honest. I'm a little gun shy after Thelma got like a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I watched it and I was bored to tears.
Aww.
I know. But Man on the Inside, if it's an outright comedy, I'm definitely going to watch this. We visit my mother-in-law all the time at her assisted living facility, and it's like the ideas, you just come to you, and I haven't been able to focus on anything I want to write, but it's like, it just seems ripe for some kind of drama or comedy. And it looks like we've already got it on Man on the Inside, so I'll definitely check that out. And then you're also watching Diplomat. I saw the first season, and I really liked it. I have not started the second season, though.
Yeah, it dropped, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and once we finished Slow Horses, we jumped onto that. We really like it. It's like Kerry Russell playing the U.S. ambassador to England, getting involved in all this intrigue, potentially involving the prime minister there. Her sort of estranged husband is Rufus Sewell, who's fantastic. And their relationship is very charged. It's also very funny in a lot of ways, in a lot of unexpected ways. Like, you know, to me, there's almost like, I got, this is a strange connection. It reminds me of Three's Company in a way, almost, because they're like the ambassador to one country's in one room and this guy's in the other room. We got to kind of keep them separate. And, you know, we got, it's really very funny to me, all the different diplomatic nuances and stuff. And so I think there's only six episodes this season. Mm. We're a couple in, but really liking it.
Just to draw a parallel, I mean, the Regal Beagle on Three's Company does sound like a very UK.
Exactly. Exactly. Post. Yeah. Very, very posh.
You talked about Slow Horses. You were the first person that I heard about Slow Horses from, and I jammed through all four seasons in about 2 weeks. Absolutely love it. Love Gary Oldman. Thank you for the recommendation. I will say, in my opinion, seasons two and three were incredible. You finish all four seasons?
I did. Yeah. I love four. The last one, three got a little too action movie-ish for me. And what I like more is, you know, the character, especially Gary Oldman, is like the world's most disgusting British spy and, you know, and his sort of bad news bears of MI6 and how they, find their way in and out of these incredible plots. And this last season had Hugo Weaving playing the villain.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. And I guess Hugo Weaving said he's coming back for season five, which is great because he's a great villain. So yeah, it's a great show. The other thing I love about Slow Horses is there's a new season every year. Like they don't make you wait 3 or 4 years, then all of a sudden it drops like Stranger Things. Like every year there's a new season of it, which is, it's nice to be able to count on it.
It was great. I finished it, I think, two nights ago, and I was like, oh, great, season five, but it was a preview. So I'm like, oh.
Right.
So, but it's coming up soon. I think this Jack Loudon is going to be a star, too, the guy who plays River Cartwright.
Yeah.
He's really good.
He is.
Yeah, and you got Kristen Scott Thomas. It's just a great show. Have you seen any of Jackal, Rob? Day of the Jackal?
No, I mean, I love the movie from the 70s.
Same.
Redford,
right? What? Ryan Redford.
No, that's 3 Days of the Condor. Also great. Yeah. Another great movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackal is like Edward Fox, and I don't even remember who plays the assassin, but I loved it. But how was the show?
You know what? I kind of labored through the pilot, but it's great. Once I got past that, and not that it was bad, I just was like, oh, come on. But it picks up, and it's great. I'm enjoying it so far. I'm on like episode four. I think seven have dropped so far, maybe. It's already been renewed though for a season two, which is good. Yeah, I'm digging it. I'd be curious to know what you think.
Yeah, I want to catch up on that one. Yeah.
All right, cool. Hey, Rob, thanks so much. Always fun. Have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll talk again, I hope, after I see Wicked and you see Gladiator 2.
Gladiator. We can glick it the other way. Yeah.
That sounds great. All right, buddy. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, Pete. You too.
All right, thanks. That's Rob Thomas from the from CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor, and check out his work on his Substack at Not Rob Thomas. He does great work. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about Lighthouses in Wisconsin. A new PBS special is due to hit the airwaves, I think, December 2nd. We will talk to the producer of that show, Wisconsin Lighthouses, coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Federal election law governs campaign contributions directly to presidential candidates. But when an incoming administration refuses to follow the presidential transition rules, those contributions become an unregulated spigot of special interest dark money. The Presidential Transition Act of 1963 allows money controlled by the General Services Administration to fund presidential transition expenses, including office space, personnel, and other support services to aid incoming administrations. It's no small amount. $10.4 million was budgeted for 2024 and $11.2 million for 2025, according to the Congressional Research Service. Most of this money is contingent on the incoming administration signing a memo of understanding, and it comes with limits on outside donations of $5,000 and disclosure of contributors. President-elect Trump's transition team has thus far refused to sign those agreements. So it's likely the transition is being funded by corporations, super PACs, and other special interests, and Americans won't have any idea how much is given, how it will be used, or what donors will get favors in return. The Federal Election Commission can't oversee these contributions, and the GSA can't enforce the Presidential Transition Act with no agreement. It's one big dark money special interest swamp. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? That is tonight's question of the night here at Nightlight. You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We've had some great... A lot of people went with green beans, Conrad. I'm not saying they're giving you the high hat there, but...
I like everything else in it besides the green beans.
Yeah, I could go for the beans and the crunchy onions I'm fine with. It's the mushroom soup that I struggle with. I've muscled a few helpings down, but it's been years. I wouldn't go that route anymore. But I think you and I both said potatoes. A lot of people have said potatoes. Jim from Appleton said homemade cranberries. Homemade. I'm in the minority there. I go canned. I like the shape of the can. Makes me feel like I'm really eating a can, like a Ginsu knife. But I like the sweet fake cranberries. I got to be honest. I like the idea of cranberries, but I don't love the taste of cranberries.
Yeah.
Unless there's a lot of sugar added. But this one, Anna, is my favorite so far. She says candied yams with brown sugar, which I could eat by the spoonful. And pecans, but no marshmallows. I could do marshmallows, or I could eat it just how Anna suggested. Both sound amazing. Keep those texts coming, folks. All right, we are going to turn our attention now to something that is attention-getting. I think you know where I'm going with this, Conrad. Lighthouses. That's what their whole purpose is, to get attention. And there's a great new special that's going to air coming up on PBS Wisconsin and Milwaukee Public Television, or Milwaukee PBS. December 2nd, it airs. And joining me now on Nightlight for the first time is the producer of said special, Jeff Pfeiffer. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Pete. Awesome. Great to be here. Thanks so much.
I kind of took a liberty. I just made an assumption about your last name. Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it right. By the way, I was going to say, I was listening to the segment before, and I would rather just talk about slow horses than my show. So if you want to... I don't know how River's going to get out of this one. It's just...
Wait, where are you at in the show?
Season 2.
Okay. Very interesting. All right. Listen, season 2, I think...
So don't give it away.
I think that was my favorite of all four, to be honest. Okay. So, but it's a really good show. I love a good spy show, but when I heard it was a comedy, I was like, no interest. But it's more of a spy show with funny elements. And when it's exciting, it's really exciting. I like it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to more of what you're watching later, Jeff. But let's dive into to Lighthouses. This airs December 2nd. It's called Wisconsin Lighthouses, and you can check it out on PBS Wisconsin. which is our connection. I do some work there myself with POV and Independent Lens and Director's Cut, and it's been a great place to work. Also, Milwaukee PBS. So you're on both PBSs. That's a victory in and of itself. That's very exciting. Tell me this, Jeff. Why are lighthouses so cool?
Gosh, that's a great question. Well, a lot of people wonder that. First of all, we have a lot of lighthouses in Wisconsin. We've got about 50 of them. So, I think, they're beautiful to look at. They were functional in the past, but now they are just these gorgeous buildings that that really hold our attention. And I think everybody has that that fantasy of leaving the rat race and becoming a lighthouse keeper on a windswept isle. And I also think they represent a bygone era too, right? I think there was a time when people lived in them and people worked in them. And it kind of harkens back to that old time that we miss.
That really fascinates me, that people actually lived in them. What was that like? And during the special, I don't know, what do you cover that? Are there shots of living quarters or anything like that? Because I really find that fascinating.
Yeah, quite a bit. Actually, we talk about how the lighthouses were homes for families. They had to do everything that other families did. And they had to maintain the lighthouse. And yeah, there was these incredible stories of these people who were living there. And sometimes, it was a dream, and sometimes it was not so much a dream.
Sometimes it was a fallback. You want to make it big on Broadway, and you back up in the family lighthouse, maybe something like that. All right, so that's great. So what can people expect to see? Without giving too much away, do you go into the history of lighthouses? Do you talk about their operations and exactly the purpose they served? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, sure. Lighthouses really, there's a whole history to them where they tell the story of the making of our state, right? In the early days, the only way you could really get anywhere was by water. There were no highways, there were no roads or interstates. The way you got anywhere was by boat. So you really need to have a lighthouse. And lighthouses were almost kind of like, we have one of our historians on the show talk about this, but they were kind of like having the cavalry fort on the Pioneer Trail. That once you had a toehold in the wilderness, you could start bringing people, and they started to bring, settlements started to arise, much to the detriment of the Native Americans who were living here at the time. But settlements started to arise, and it started to have this accelerating effect. And, goods and things and people and services are coming in. And there's this sort of idea that the lighthouses kind of built our state. So we talk about the broader, historical picture, and we also talk about the individual stories as well, about the keepers and their lives.
That's interesting. It airs December 2nd, but I know oftentimes PBS does a sneak peek online beforehand. Are you guys doing that as well? And when can people stream it?
We're not doing a sneak peek, actually.
Oh, you're not?
No, I think it's no.
Oh, I misunderstood.
It's just going to be on December 2nd. No. Okay. There are some previews online, and there's actually, there's a walkthrough of Kena Island that you can do online.
I saw that.
And that's up right now. So, yeah, if you go on the website, I think it's www.pbswisconsin.org/Wisconsin-lighthouses. You can get hooked up with all the information on there. So there's stuff, there's little extras, and there's photographs. And I think, and then there's this walkthrough of Kena Island, which was done by another producer, and it's really incredible.
That sounds cool. Let's pick up there. We got to do some quick news here. And I'd love to pick up with Kena, and I want to ask you about the Apostle Islands too, because I'm kind of fascinated by this place. I've never even been to, but I hear it's amazing. So we'll pick up there with Jeff after your Civic Media News Team keeps you informed. Award-winning news team. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wanna cry, cry, cry alone. This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump says he plans to impose sweeping new tariffs on Mexico and Canada as soon as he takes office. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
This could have negative implications for industries like auto manufacturers, farmers, and food packagers.
It could also make everything from gas to food more expensive for Americans. A judge has dismissed the Washington election interference case against Mr. Trump after a request from special counsel Jack Smith. CBS's Christian Benavides.
In a six-page filing, Smith acknowledged the Justice Department and Constitution forbid the prosecution of a sitting president.
2 days until Thanksgiving, and CBS's Chris Van Cleve has hopeful information for people flying to holiday destinations this year.
Airlines feel very good about the forecast going into Thanksgiving. American Airlines telling us they've had about a 92% completion factor, on-time completion factor, I should say. That's a really good number.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Giannis named Player of the Week. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That after leading the Bucks to a four-game winning streak. Right now, Giannis, averaging over 32 points a game, is the most in the NBA. The Bucks are in Miami to play the Heat. NFL, Packers safety Xavier McKinney made his seventh interception of the season against the 49ers Sunday night. The ball intended for Deebo Samuel. I asked McKinney what happened next.
So I just played for the tip, and luckily it bounced right to me. I was in the right spot, and I was able to make a play.
The Packers host the Dolphins Thursday night, kickoff at 7:20. Badgers football on Friday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota at 11 a.m., playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
Regardless if it's Friday at 11 o'clock or if they'd have put it at Saturday at night. It comes down to a one-game season. It comes down to a battle for an axe, and anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong in either one of these places.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have some pretty good travel weather coming our way for the upcoming holiday weekend, but take a jacket because it is currently, it's 17.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll find out what's grinding his gears. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is a happy Monday, Conrad, because it's the Monday before Thanksgiving. It's a very short week for most people, certainly for us. So we're going to try to give you 5 days of shows, and we're going to pack it all into 2 days, which usually we have about 5 minutes of material and try to make that last for one show. So we're doing a little switcheroo here this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Conrad doesn't agree. All right. Joining me now on Nightlight, we are going to continue to talk a little bit to Jeff Pfeiffer. He is the producer of Wisconsin Lighthouses, which airs December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin and Milwaukee PBS. Jeff, we got a text during the break from Tom in the 414 who says, the lighthouse on the east end of North Ave near St. Mary's Hospital is beautiful. Are you familiar with that one?
No idea what you're talking about.
Wait a minute.
So explain it to me a little bit more. Which lighthouse is that? I assume that's in Green Bay.
No. This is Tom.
Oh, 414.
In the 414. Yeah, he says the lighthouse on the east end of North Avenue near St. Mary's Hospital is beautiful. And I don't...
I'll take his word for it. Sounds great.
I'm kind of putting you on the spot. Like, I feel like you should be an expert on every lighthouse in Wisconsin. But
I know a little bit.
Yeah.
You know. I know more than your average Joe. Let's just say that.
How many did you have to visit? Like,
I never said I produced a show. No, I'm just kidding.
You just take the title. That's okay.
Yeah.
Did you have to visit a lot of them in person? Well, that must have been kind of fun.
Yeah, we did. It was amazing. I mean, actually, so I've said this before, I think, but like, you know, some lighthouses you just drive right up to and you park in the parking lot and you get out, and like North Point Lighthouse in Milwaukee is like that. Others, you know, the only way to get there is really by boat. So you have to either charter a boat or know somebody. And luckily enough, we knew the National Park Service and we knew the DNR and still do. And so they took us out to some of these incredible lighthouses, and we went to Pottawatomie Lighthouse, which is on Rock Island. So if you think about Tip of Door County and you think about there's Washington Island on top of that, then Rock Island is the top of Door County, or sorry, the top of Washington Island. And it's the middle of absolute nowhere, and it's just an incredible place to be. And you can see Michigan from there. And we had a blast, like, just, you know, working there and taking videoing it and seeing it. And we slept in the lighthouse one night.
Oh,
and
nice. Very and cool.
It was cool and weird, but it was also cool. And then we got to get up in the morning and film the sunrise from the light from the tower. So that was really cool.
So you were talking about Cana Lighthouse in Door County. Where is that in Door County? And what was the significance of that again? I know you give a virtual tour, but what's the history behind that lighthouse?
Yeah, Cana is it's in Bailey's Harbor. It's on just like a 9-acre little plot. You know, it's very tiny. And of course, if you've ever been out there, you got to take a little tractor out. Sometimes the water rises up above the rocks and you can't actually, you get your feet wet if you go there. But Cana was really significant because it was built just after the Civil War. And there had been a few lighthouses in Door County, but they had all not really worked very well, or they were in the wrong place. And Cana was built. And actually, the funny thing about Cana was, today it's this gorgeous lighthouse that everyone loves to go to, and it's like this tourist attraction. But at the time it was built in one of the most inhospitable places ever, and it was starting to sink. And it was actually built out of Milwaukee Cream City brick, and they had to build this sort of ironclad, shell around it, I guess you would say. And so that's why it looks like that today. But normally on the inside, there would be that Milwaukee Cream City brick. But every lighthouse keeper that ever lived there was miserable and wanted to leave immediately, which I just think is so funny and ironic, because it's such a gorgeous place. And we spend a lot of time at Cana on the show. We do a lot of beautiful shots of it and talk about it. And Yeah, and very significant because it really warned so many ships off of that area and still does today.
It's going to sound like I'm trying to be funny, and I'm not. But okay. there are so many shipwrecks, but we're told there's so many lighthouses in Wisconsin. Were there enough? I mean, especially in Door County, yeah, at Death's Door, there's so many shipwrecks. Were there not enough lighthouses? And again, I don't expect you to be an expert on this, but just given what you've learned over the course of making this special.
No, I mean, look, I think it just goes to show how dangerous that area really is, even with the lighthouses, right? You yeah. still have tons of shipwrecks. And we talk about that in the show too. Like one of the things that surprised me, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in New Jersey. So forgive me for anyone who did grow up near the lakes. They will always tell you, yeah, you know, these lakes are intense, but that's something I didn't really realize until I started the show, was that the lakes are just as intense, if not more so, than the oceans.
I've heard that.
And yeah, and there's just so much to it. And the weather that we get up here, the rockiness of the shoals, the waves don't go in a regular pattern the way they do in an ocean. There's no salinity, so your ship will just get pulled down much faster. It's really amazing, yeah.
That's interesting. Did you come across any lighthouses that have any kind of history in terms of being haunted?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they lend themselves to ghosts, and I don't know why.
I know. Well, you could blame the movie, I guess, the Robert Eggers movie, and other things too, other media as well. But so there's a legend about the Sherwood Point Lighthouse that it's haunted by a woman keeper named Minnie Hesh. We visited Sherwood Point. I'm sorry to say I didn't see anything uncanny there. We slept in the lighthouse at Pottawatomie, and it was just a little off. I can't say that I saw anything in particular, but there was just something bad about it. And I shouldn't say bad. The people who work there do a great job maintaining it, and the volunteers would hate if I said that. So that's not true. I don't mean bad in the sense of it. Yeah, there was just something a little off, a little creepy.
I know what you mean. It's funny. I forgot about that film, The Lighthouse. I just looked it up, and the director, Robert Eggers, looks like the keeper of a lighthouse in his IMDb picture. So I encourage you to check that out. Let's talk about the keepers. You mentioned them earlier. How does one go about becoming a lighthouse keeper? Do you just have to have maritime knowledge? You have to be a boater? How do you know any of the stories of how these people ended up there?
Yeah. So historically, a lot of times they were Civil War veterans. There was no civil service in those days. So, if you had been a veteran or a general or something, maybe not general, if you had been like a captain in the Union Army, this was a really good government job that they would stick you with. Hmm. And actually there's some funny stories about, maybe I shouldn't say funny, but there's some stories about lighthouse keepers who had been maimed from the Civil War, who had like maybe one arm or something, or one leg, but they would still do their duty going up the lighthouse stairs carrying.
Those spiral staircases must have been a workout for someone like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But no, I mean, I think that was mainly it. And that was the way it worked until the 1930s, when the lighthouse service passed into the Coast Guard, and then it became a branch of the military. And so anybody who was in the Coast Guard service could get that assignment.
Interesting. You have a quote on the website when I was looking up the special. It says, this is your quote: "I want people to walk away with a deeper appreciation of not only the lighthouses, but also an appreciation of the sacrifices that the keepers and their families made." You kind of just explained what they went through. What appreciation did you walk away with, if anything?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I mean, I think I really did feel like these people put their duty above anything else, you know? And, I think anyone who's working hard can relate to that. Anybody here, who's like, listen, I gotta do my job. I gotta keep those mariners safe out on the lake. That's what I have to do. And, and certainly in getting to these places, I realized just how remote they were. And, what they gave up living out in those in the middle of nowhere to keep people safe is really extraordinary.
That is the voice of Jeff Pfeiffer. He is the producer of Wisconsin Lighthouses on PBS. You can check it out December 2nd. There is no sneak preview, we've established. I thought there I must have misread something, but it looks so great.
We had a preview in Manitowoc. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. No.
Maybe that's what it is.
I'm just okay. An idiot. When I was reading it, I misinterpreted. Do you have how many of these lighthouses, if any, still operate? I really don't know.
Yeah.
Are a lot of them functioning? None of them?
Very few. I think, you know, Cana still does, though. That's what's fascinating is like, well, actually, I should say this. Cana is still functioning and has its original Fresnel lens. Now, do you want me to go into what a Fresnel lens is?
Yeah, absolutely. For those who don't know?
Okay. Well,
what are we doing here, buddy? Come on, bring it.
This is lighthouses, right?
Yeah.
So Fresnel lens was this incredible innovation in the 19th century that was this series of glass prisms that would take the light and just intensify it and project it out way further onto the lake than ever before. And it saved countless lives. And so when you see these Fresnel lenses today, lighthouse geeks like myself will go crazy for them because they're beautiful looking. There's this beautiful glass and they come in different sizes and some can be as big as a house or something. The ones we have on the lakes here or in Wisconsin aren't quite as big. I think they're only about maybe the largest is like a 3. I think that's Cana's. It's still pretty big. So Cana still has its original Fresnel lens and that is still used today as a light that mariners will use and fishermen will use when they're out on the lakes. They have GPS, they have radar, but they still like the old fashioned light to steer them to shore. So there are a few like that. Now then there's a few that like don't have their Fresnel, but will have like a beacon in them. And that beacon is still used, but it's not the original lens. But you can use that beacon, like say Wind Point Lighthouse in Racine has a beacon and it blinks and everything, but it, you know, it doesn't give you that same, you know, gorgeous sweeping effect or that same bright white light effect.
They are cool. I mean, whether it's Fresnel or beacon, I just think lighthouses are so great. Did you have a favorite when you were doing this? And tell us about the Apostle Islands Lighthouse. I'm fascinated by everything I hear about the Apostle Islands.
Yeah, the Apostles are amazing. If you get a chance, you got to go to the Apostles. It's really an adventure. One of my favorites, I mean, it changes all the time, but one of my favorites is the Sand Island Lighthouse in the Apostle Islands. It's just a gorgeous lighthouse. It's made out of stone. The stone was fashioned from the island itself. So as we say in the show, it was fashioned from the island and it looks like a gingerbread castle or something. Mm. And the inside is not restored, but you can get there and you can go in. And of course the island is like dense wooded forest and you have to kind of bushwhack your way through to get to the lighthouse, which we did. We tell a great story about a couple that lived there named Emmanuel Lewick and his wife, Ella Lewick. And I don't know if I should give it away or not, but it's a good story.
Oh,
so that's one
right.
of my favorites.
Just tease us a little. That's fine.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No pressure. I don't want to take the ratings at PBS. I have a lot of affection for PBS. So the last thing I would want to do is put you in an awkward spot like I've already done.
No, not at all. There was a couple, she was 16 years old. He was 29. She went to go live with him in the lighthouse. Their marriage fell apart and she would use the logbook of the lighthouse as her own personal diary. Mm. And she would write, you know, Mr. Lewick has nothing to do today. And she was bored out of her mind. And, it's a good story. I'll save you the details though.
All right. I want to hear the notes from the marriage counseling on that relationship. All right. Jeff Pfeiffer is here. We'll have a couple more minutes with Jeff when we come back. After a very short break, I'm going to ask Jeff how he got into producing and what he's watching. And maybe we'll even ask him if he has a favorite side dish at Thanksgiving. We'll just see how crazy we get here at Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. By design, I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire.
I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said,
you're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tomorrow night on the program, Matt Miller, Milwaukee film and TV critic, joins me at 6:35 for more Glicked. I don't know. Rob had a good point. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with Matt. Al Petrelli from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra joins me at 7:05 tomorrow night, and filmmaker Emmett Laborde joins me at 7:20. Right now, we have a couple more minutes left with our current guest, Jeff Pfeiffer, who produced a really cool special for PBS Wisconsin called Wisconsin Lighthouses. Jeff, I noticed you have a 310 area code on your phone, so you're a fellow SoCal. I'm not that I'm a native, but I spent quite a bit of time out there. How did you end up in Wisconsin?
Yeah, let's see. I think we moved here in 2019 to be closer to my wife's family.
That's how they get you, Jeff. That's how they get you.
Every time, right?
How are you digging it? Do you like it?
I do. I mean, I was saying to some folks the other day that I think there's some things I'll never get used to, but I generally really like it out here.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Well, the pronunciation of some words I find strange.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I don't know why it's Trivers. Makes no sense.
It's what?
Trivers. Two rivers.
Two rivers. Yeah.
Trivers.
That's tough.
Somebody was saying bagel. I thought that's not what that is.
How do you say it? How does a Jersey boy say it?
Bagel.
Yeah, that's what I thought. My wife says bagel, but she's not even from Wisconsin. I can't figure it out. But there are some funny pronunciations. My producer Conrad spells his name with a K. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know. I'll ask him.
It's a different pronunciation too. You know?
It makes him unique though. That's okay. You got to stand apart a little bit. So, what are you watching, Jeff? You work very hard at PBS.
Yeah,
you put out
I do.
These great specials. When you go home at night with your wife, who puts out a nice bagel spread, what are you watching on TV?
Well, yeah, good question. I mean, I have a 7-year-old, so it's a lot of 7-year-old shows like Bluey. But no, we were watching What We Do in the Shadows, I really like. I don't know if you guys are watching that one.
I watched one. Yeah, it was interesting for sure.
Well, okay. That doesn't sound like a good
No, it's different and cool, but I don't know that I wanted to stick with it, if okay. that makes sense. But I didn't dislike it. I thought it was a really kind of a cool show.
Do you like a drama? Do you like a comedy?
Whatever. If something's well done, I'll typically at least give it a watch. But I love mysteries. I love dramas. Mm. Comedy less so, even though my background is mostly comedy. It's hard for me to
say.
Yeah, but I, you know, having said that, like we talked about Slow Horses, I think it's got a little comedy, but great mystery. It's a thriller at times. I really like that. Are you watching Day of the Jackal?
No, but you know what? Here's the wait. I'll pivot now. But no, here's the thing. If you like Slow Horses, this is kind of a sleeper show. The Bureau, which is a French show, not quite as good as Slow Horses, but like it's like 6 or 7 seasons. French, obviously, all subtitles. But like, it just kind of sucks you in. It's kind of fun.
Good to know. So I've heard that, but not for a long time. But I've heard it's a very good show. I do struggle with like when I watch Shogun, that had subtitles, and
what a great show.
It was good.
Really?
The problem is I can't play video poker when I watch a show with subtitles. It's very frustrating because I have ADD.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. Do you have
you lose a couple good hands.
Exactly. And it's all fake money, but I still get very irritated when I lose. You have Thanksgiving coming up. Do you have a favorite side dish? That's our question of the night.
Just the marshmallows.
Just marshmallows.
No, I don't know. You know, everything is good, right? The turkey, the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Maybe mashed potatoes. Did somebody say that already?
Everybody. A lot of people have said potatoes. Yeah. I said potatoes. Conrad said potatoes. A lot of the texters, but... I've heard some really good ones tonight, and I the one thing I can't do is the mushroom soup and the green beans. That just doesn't.
I know you're saying that, but I like that though.
A lot of people do. It's a staple.
Yeah.
I'm not on my high horse or anything. I'm just it's just a personal thing.
Okay.
Hey, this was fun, buddy. Good luck with the special. I can't wait to check it out, and I hope we see a lot more stuff from you. Please don't be a stranger.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Pete. This was a blast. Thank you so much.
Go have a bagel and take a load off. All right.
Will do.
That's Jeff Pfeiffer from PBS Wisconsin. Check out his special Wisconsin Lighthouse. This is December 2nd. Conrad is pointing. Well, that can only mean one thing. Lay it on me. Here we go. Steady Eddie checking in. Steady Eddie, by the way, lives in the 608. I rarely say the area code because Steady Eddie has kind of got such a memorable name, but he says, Pete, favorite Thanksgiving side dish, green beans with crunchy fried onions, but I changed the recipe a little bit. I throw out the green beans, and then I eat the French's crunchy fried onions right out of the can. To me, that's what Thanksgiving is all about. And then in all caps, freedom. Very well said. Very patriotic, Steady Eddie. That almost seems like, yeah, that's not a steadfast Edward. That's Steady Eddie because he's just being an animal there, eating fried. That's like anarchy.
You know, I hate to admit it, but I used to do the same thing.
What, you know, chips in the house, so you go for the deep fried onions?
Yeah, they're so good, though. They're so good.
That works. Okay, I can roll with that. Thank you, Steadfast Edward, as always. Great. Thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you to Jeff Pfeiffer. And thank you for all your texts. Another fun night here at Nightlight. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all over again, our last live show before we take a short break. But we will keep you entertained, I hope, Wednesday through Friday. We've got best of shows with some of our best interviews. John Legend. Who else, Conrad?
John Grise.
John Grise. Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah. Jenny Slate from Bob's Burgers.
Adam Brody.
Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory. Andrea Belke from Discover Wisconsin. We got a lot of fun shows.
Ask Your Mother, too.
And Ask Your Mother will be in the studio months ago that we're recycling. But it'll sound live.
It just you know, their music is great. It's always worth a re-listen.
Absolutely. So thank you for joining me tonight on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Well, what else? Did we learn anything? Nothing, right? How are we doing on time? Can I bring another guest on? All right. Thank you so much, folks. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow night. This is Pete Schwabe. Good night, Wisconsin. I'll sing it to you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, overtime with Maggie Dawn, plus Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel. She's going after the fake electors. Trump might get a pass, but the Republicans in Michigan won't. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.